Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Everyone has an opinion, but he's got the Von Hessler Doctrine. Eric Von Hessler on WSB.
Live from Sherwood Forest in the heart of Atlanta, Georgia, hour one of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins now. I am your favorite morning chat host, Eric Von Hessler. The other voices you hear are the doctrinaires. The first of those, man of a thousand voices, Tim Andrews, is with us. The queen of the invisible box, of course, Autumn Fisher, joins us. And the handsomest producer in all of producery has a hangover after the Hangout Fest, his latest music festival that he went to. He's not with us today, but we are joined by the great English Nick. Thank you for being here.
It's a pleasure, and I'm pretty good-looking, too.
Oh, you're a good-looking man.
Yeah.
I call you the world's oldest teenager.
There you go.
Because Dick Clark has long since left this world. So you are the world's oldest teenager to me. Always boyish. I won't tell the people your actual age,
no.
But always boyish. I want to say this morning a couple things. One is I'm angry because I realize it's 9:08, and that means that I can't vote for American Idol anymore. I believe that stopped at 9 o'clock. You know, it's funny how hometown stuff. I haven't watched a second of American Idol. Quite frankly, I'm not interested. I also cannot stand modern country. But we have a local kid from Dallas, Georgia, who could win. And he sings country, modern country, I guess. And he's on this show that I don't watch. And now all of a sudden, I'm deeply invested. Like, well, if somebody's got to win this thing I'm not watching and not caring about, it might as well be a local kid.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? Caleb?
Caleb, yeah.
Yeah. Well, go Caleb. Sorry, I missed it. It's 9 o'clock. Also, before we get going, I want to say to everyone who I see today, the answer is I'm an American, therefore I didn't see it. I don't want you to grown men have asked me about what I thought of Meghan Markle's wedding dress.
Yeah.
My answer is I'm an American, therefore I didn't see it.
So is she, though?
Well, I understand that, but she jumped ship. I haven't. Let's do this.
Headlines for Monday, May 21st.
Before we get to the headlines, I do want to take a moment for say a few things about the shooting at the Texas school on Friday. I'm going to be quite honest with you. I had Friday off. I hadn't watched any news. I turned on news for the first time around 5 o'clock. That was the first story. And my immediate reaction was, I just stopped watching news all weekend long. Not because I didn't care. Of course, I care. 10 innocent souls, 10 other people wounded. I absolutely care deeply. But I knew what the coverage was going to be. The coverage is always the same thing. And it's a bunch of people retreating back to what they believed 24 hours before the shooting happened and what they'll believe 3 weeks from now and 3 years from now. Nothing at all gets changed around based on what actually happened. And I find it to be, in the end, be exploitative of the victims and the families. I'm going to just say this, that this is the problem with this is the problem itself. It's an intractable problem. We have the Second Amendment, and we also apparently have enough of these mentally unstable people to make our lives miserable. The problem for us is the premise is there's always a solution. There are just people who keep us from getting the solution. Sometimes the premise is wrong. In this one, the premise is wrong. If you want to go after the NRA, that's fine, but I'm sure you were going after them 72 hours ago. So that's fine. I don't see anything to do with the guns involved here that anything about the NRA or any of the legislation that hasn't gone through would have addressed. If you immediately, you know, get back into your, you know, look, nobody's going to take my guns. We are not a country right now that's interested in solving this problem. Did that just shock you? I'm telling you the truth. We're a country right now that's not interested in solving this problem. We are a country that has way more invested and we're way more interested in arguing with one another. We get more out of that politically and socially arguing with one another until both sides of this debate decide this is bigger than us and we're going to have to come together and figure out what to do about it, we're going to get nowhere. But even when we do that, again, I have to say that this is one of those intractable problems. The problem is the premise being that there is a solution. There are just people keeping us from getting to that solution. It's a very difficult problem, and quite often in this country, we shy away from problems not nearly this difficult. We do this all the time. We're going to, all of us listening today are going to once again, for 24 hours, pretend that this country is not $21 trillion in debt. We do this all the time. Out of sight, out of mind, we know what we believe in on some subject, and when the moment comes, we tell people what we believe, but we don't have an interest right now in a solution. It's something that we, or even trying to do better, because I don't think there's any solution. I think things like this should happen like once a decade at best, and they're happening all the time. At the same time that these huge things are happening, crime, violent crime, is actually going down in America. It's a very strange situation. We get a kid, I'm not interested in seeing his face on TV anymore, but it's pretty obvious to me, if not a copycat, he was inspired by the guy from Florida. So there's a whole lot wrapped in here. Both sides have the things that they were going to say before the actual shooting took place. And that's why I turn it off. We'll talk about ways to go forward on this show today and on other days. But the premise on that there is a solution, there are just people keeping it from being put into action, is a false premise. Let's go to the next
headline. All right. Trump demands the Justice Department examine whether it or the FBI spied on the campaign.
There is this guy, apparently. It's funny because some of the news outlets, most of them, are not naming the person involved. Mm. And then others are. So we happen to know it's a Cambridge professor. His name is Stefan Halper, 73 years old. He's been in and out of the government for a good long time. Apparently, ask this guy, George Papadopoulos. No, not the man who is the host of Good Morning America. A different Greek American involved in politics. This guy was in deep, and he offered this guy Papadopoulos $3,000 to come to England, write a research paper, give a talk. The only question here, really, first of all, it's not good for the country. I understand why Trump is doing it. He wants to get aggressive. It's not good for the country, but I understand why Trump is doing it. The real question here is, from the FBI's point of view and Department of Justice, would be, was this guy being paid to be there? It's one thing to be in a campaign and maybe think you see things you don't like and then start reporting. It's another thing if you were put there for that purpose. Mm-hmm. That would be the Watergate angle of this, that a sitting president put a mole into the opposing party's presidential campaign. At any time during that campaign, that would be the Watergate thing here. And then lesser to that would be if he just started getting paid afterward. Apparently, there is money that was funneled to this guy over the last couple of years through organs of government. So we'll find out more. It's not good to have more investigations about more investigations. Also, I don't know the Department of Justice is going to go as far as the president wants to. That could break down. They just thrown it into the inspector general's duties. He doesn't have as much ability as a full-fledged investigator would have. You know, interesting stuff. This has gone on long enough. There's been a Russia probe for a year. If you still believe that Vladimir Putin colluded with Donald Trump, not for Trump to win, but for Hillary to lose. You know, Hillary was out there, again, she gave a commencement speech for, but of course, we didn't come here to hear about what we should do for the rest of our lives. We should hear about what you think of the presidential election.
Let me just get this out of the way. No, I'm not over it.
She's not over it. Thank you for getting that out of the way. And she had a big joke.
I brought a hat, too. A Russian hat. If you can't beat them, join them.
I don't get it, Hillary. What? If you can't,
hilarious.
Is that your? I didn't see what the setup was to that. I saw it on the news.
That's not important. It's just the punchline that matters. A Russian hat.
But the setup probably was the Well, you crack yourself up. Make America great again hat, I would think, is what you were probably going after there. So there you go. Next head. You know, it's enough already with these investments. I would like to do some governing, but it's not good for the country, this navel-gazing. I'll tell you this. I'll upset some people and say I would be surprised if they paid and put this person into that presidential campaign. But if they did that, Trump is right. We are in Watergate territory at that point. Next story.
All right. The U.S. and China are putting the trade war on hold after progress in talks.
Oh, you know what? I saw this, and it turns out it's true. The trade war is on hold. I found this out because I tried to call the trade war. This is me dialing.
You punched the buttons hard.
You have reached the United States-China Trade War Hotline.
Para español, por favor.
Your call is very important to us. Please, stay on the line, and a customer service representative will be with you shortly. Your call is important to us. Please, stay on the line, and a trade war representative will be with you shortly. Maybe. Our representatives are busy making America great again. Don't hang up. Hey, you. Relax.
So there it is. There's your confirmation that the trade war between the U.S. and China is definitely on hold. No, I just stayed on for like 20 minutes.
Wow. And, they were busy, I guess.
I thought, God, that guy sounded like Tim Andrews. Is he moonlighting on me? That's what I thought.
That's voice work I get.
All right. Well, I can't be against it. Right. So, yeah, it's on hold for now because things are wrapped up all inside of each other. We're getting some concessions from China. We're not getting all the concessions that we want on trade. But right now, going into the Kim Jong-un summit, we like the fact that China is helping us out a little bit. Or we think they are. We'll find out. And we don't
want
to – I mean, that's the way the art of the deal, right? It's all rolled together. You can't just see this stuff as trade. It's all negotiations and it's all deals.
20D chess. We'll see.
So right now you hold it out there. What is it?
20D chess. We'll see.
20D chess.
It'll either work or I'm playing chess on so many levels.
20 times over.
That's right.
So I think that the on hold thing is let's see what happens with Kim Jong-un. Give this a little more time. And it allows a way out for right now. We don't really want a trade war, but he's already gotten, I think, about maybe $200 billion worth of concessions, and he wants $500. He's probably not going to get $500, but if we get a little help with Kim Jong-un, we'll probably call it even. Next story, please.
Iran's foreign minister said Sunday that the EU isn't doing enough to make the nuclear deal worthwhile to Tehran following the U.S.'s withdrawal.
Of course not. You know what? Europe is just going to have to figure out very soon. They're going to make a decision. They're either going to deal with Iran or they're going to – do you like what I did that?
Iran.
Remember people used
very
to
get, official.
Right-wing people used to get mad at Barack Obama for properly pronouncing things. Iran or Pakistan. I'm not like that.
Pakistan.
I don't care who I vote for. I think it's okay. It's okay to pronounce things properly. That music tells me I don't have near enough time right at this moment to give you all of my ideas on Europe, Iran, and the United States. Iran. So I'll fill you in on the answers when we return. So to pick up on my earlier point, it does not surprise me that the Iranians are now saying that the European Union support for the nuclear deal after the U.S. withdrawal not sufficient for them to stay in. That's the whole thing. The story has been, well, Trump pulled out. Now the other European nations, I think plus China, plus Russia, will try to stay in. And this is so naive. Look, you can argue about whether or not now is the right time with Trump to pull us from Iran, the Iran deal.
Iran.
Iran. You know, when I was a kid, I had a shirt. I had a shirt that said, this was after the during the hostage crisis of 79-80, and I had a shirt that said, American ends in I can, not Iran. So don't doubt my bona fide, sir. But I'm just saying, I grew up and found out it's Iran is the way to say it. It doesn't surprise me because whether or not you believe Trump should have pulled out now, what Trump is right about is the fact that Iran wants a nuclear weapon. And for a while, they thought the best way to it is to game this deal. that Obama and Kerry put together. And then in 10, 12, 15 years, we'll pop out, we'll break out with a nuke. Why was it worth that? Because part of that deal ended up being just billions of dollars up front that they needed because we were strangling them. The thing about Iran is going to be no more interested in staying in this deal than Trump was, because they know what Trump does. They know what their motives are. Their motives are to get a nuke as fast as possible. If that's 10 years, it's fine. If it's 12 years, it's fine. If it's 5, that's even better. Remember this. They've already got the billions of dollars up front, so they have nothing to lose. Unless you believe that Trump is wrong in his assessment that what Iran really wanted is a nuke. Now, if you believe that, I have several bridges I'd like to sell you. Actually, I don't. People say that all the time, and if you push them, it turns out they don't have a bridge to sell you. But I think you know what I mean. You're to me, hopelessly naive. And I think Europe right now is a little bit naive, thinking that they can stay in a deal, believing that that's a deal that Iran really wants to stay in with or ever believed in. They were gaming that deal. Trump may have been wrong or right to pull out now, but he was absolutely right about the Iranian intent. And that's what Europe is learning. I will tell you what this weekend taught me about me. Is I really need a wife.
You have a wife.
And I know I have a wife, but my wife was out of town over the weekend. And I had a long weekend. I had Friday off as well.
Just get yourself a robot to fill in.
I don't mean that way,
no,
sir. We've
no,
been together.
I mean, there's robots who can also do the kitchen stuff, I'm sure.
Are you saying that my wife is nothing more than a...
No, I don't know. You're probably going to tell me.
A chef?
Here you go, Eric. It is a grilled cheese, which is not burnt the way that your wife usually makes it. Mm.
This is great. I like this wifey robot.
I have a side of circus peanuts here for you.
Always ready. Wifey. Wifey is great because wifey doesn't talk when I watch Fox Sports 1 or ESPN. Wifey only talks. But I will tell you this. Wifey, you've been a fantastic fill-in. But I learned over this weekend that I really need a wife. She's out of town, and I would say the whole weekend was alcohol, and, well, I really can't remember anything else, except I know this. I have not had a vegetable go inside of my body for the last 4 days. I
did not make any for you because I know that you do not prefer them.
I know that, wifey. I love that little thing you do at the end of the statement that seems like you're powering down. I like
that.
It is
my job to please you in many ways.
It's almost like this Zen thing at the end. I realized that I would be out of control without a wife. Completely out of control. I would just drink a lot and work. That's all I would do. Nothing in between. And
welcome to my world.
But you are still what I like to refer to, since the passing of Dick Clark, the world's oldest teenager.
Sure, sure.
You are not married. Exactly. You make the point. You're not married. And so it's just all partying. You can't pretend. I mean, for 4 days, I could pretend to be 27 years old. But it's not going to work much longer than that. Yes, Tim.
And next time your wife goes out of town for the weekend like that, come over to my house. We'll do guy things. We'll pop some beers. We'll get on the roof.
You got on the roof.
Get on the roof.
You know, he told me he's trying to brag to me today. He's like, I got on the roof, and I was cleaning my gutters, and then it got hot. I had to come down. But he had also told me before that he met his mother-in-law for the first time. So what's going on here? Somebody's tried to show off with the mother-in-law.
Yeah, you would think that, but that's not the case. I'm a hard-working fella.
Yes, you are. Well, I wasn't hard-working this weekend. It was just all alcohol and the epiphany that, man, oh, man, do I need a wife.
This is interesting.
Yay!
Everybody's favorite sounder.
Who is that?
For nobody's favorite segment of the show.
I know. I have no idea what the segment is. I just love his voice.
Well, you know, segments are really, I just come up with different names for the same thing. We're just going to go over the news of the day, but I like to make it about variety.
It's
so
branding, Eric. Don't besmirch branding.
Okay, I'm not going to pull away the tinsel on the.
I like a little besmirchment.
And debasing it.
You're a sister. It's always. I don't know, so energetic. So, the idea here is these are just stories that I find interesting. And then Jared made... See, you just said it.
This is interesting.
Is that one of Autumn's favorite drag queens doing that?
No, It's actually, come on, you can, you don't know that the Jared Yamamoto, when he goes into, he could do camp.
Hmm, this is interesting.
Interesting.
Jared's drag queen persona that he puts on.
This is interesting.
So, girl.
So. I just go through different stories that I find interesting, things that happen during my alcohol binge over the weekend. I was able to tune into the Channel 2 gubernatorial debates, and the first hour was the Democrats. That's just two. Both named Stacey, Abrams and Evans, right? And then the next hour was, I believe, five Republican nominees. Casey Cagle showed up at the last minute.
I did. I showed up with all my conservative credentials.
Yes, you did. here's a montage of the... well, let me start with the Democrats. Let me just say this. I've never seen either of these people. This is my thing with the gubernatorial Democrat candidates. They both seem very smart. And very wrong, because it's always the Democrat way to, oh, we just got to take more money from other people, and if there was more money, blah, blah, blah.
I'm the only candidate who has consistently co-sponsored, or actually sponsored legislation.
Which was it, lady? Get the story straight.
I'm the only candidate who has consistently co-sponsored, or actually sponsored legislation on expanding the minimum wage, on expanding access to Medicaid.
I am absolutely committed to needs-based aid in this state. I am the only candidate in this race that's ever put her name on a piece of legislation to bring needs-based aid to college.
Buzz things come out at you? Needs-based. We've done the research, and people think liberals just want to take their money to give away to anybody. So let's come up with a new phrase, needs-based.
I need some money. I sure do. I have needs.
We all have needs.
And they're based on my inability to want to do anything for that.
But that's your need.
But
right?
That my need is to not have to work hard or any at all. And that's my needs based.
Then you would be reimbursed on a needs based.
I would hope so.
It's a way of getting around that. Oh, we don't just give money to anybody. Only people in need. People who don't heed the call for a need for a job.
I suffer from occasional anxiety, and I need to go on disability, so please.
You have no need for a work ethic, do you, sir?
None at all.
That's your needs base. Right. No need for a work ethic.
None.
Here's the Repubs. This is a montage.
Repubs.
I could play the whole hour, but that's going to happen tonight. I think between is it 7 and 9 or 8 and 10?
Eight to 10.
We need true conservative leadership.
Crush sex trafficking. Cut our spending and our taxes.
I have a proven, conservative, consistent record.
I will cut your taxes. I will deport illegal immigration.
Putting what? Georgians first.
Did that guy say he would import illegal immigration?
I will deport illegal immigration so we can deport them. We have a lack of illegal immigrants in this state. So what I intend to do...
So you're going to deport illegal immigration.
First, I'm going to bring in illegal immigrants. I'm going to deport illegal immigration. Then I'm going to write a law making sanctuary cities illegal. And then we're going to go around with a gray bus and pick them all up.
I will deport... illegal immigration.
I don't know what that means. I will deport.
He's going to take the actual bill.
Yeah.
Put it on a bus. Drive it across
the
border.
Illegal immigration.
That's Casey Cagle.
Was that him?
I believe.
No, I don't think so. I think it was one of the other, because Casey always sounds like the...
Oh.
I will deport illegal immigration.
I think that was like Clayton. No, more might have been that Michael Williams. I don't know by the voices. You mentioned the idea of sanctuary cities, that's coming up in a lot of these commercials. Mm-hmm. I'll fight the sanctuary cities. This is an honest question. I believe I know the answer to, because I think the answer is zero. How many sanctuary cities are there in the state of Georgia? We're not electing the next governor of California here, right? We're electing the next governor of Georgia. And if I'm right that there are no sanctuary cities in Georgia... What do you got there, Tim Andrews?
You're looking
it up.
Well, I'm behind paywalls here, so give me a second.
Oh, well, but hey, look, pay the money. They deserve
the
money.
AJC,
if you want to get the – you don't get it free? I know people.
Yeah, how can that be part of their campaign if there's
It's called pandering.
Georgia has outlawed them since 2009.
And there's nobody in – they're outlawed, really, by the federal government, but there are some cities that
– Right, but statewide, no.
I just don't believe there are any cities, any threat of this. So if you're going to vote responding to that appeal, you're a fool. Hey, elect me Georgia governor, and I'll solve problems we don't have. That's how good I am. I'm that good. I will actually solve problems.
But you won't have to worry about immigration, because that's going to be deported too.
We're already going to deport the immigration.
I will deport illegal immigration.
I don't know what that means.
That is Don White. I'm mayor of White, Georgia. And we're the only sanctuary city in the entire state.
Mm-hmm. Just for one.
It makes
That's
sense.
Right.
It makes sense, doesn't it?
All right. So I will say I was a little let down by the GOP one because I've been going after Casey Cagle. I don't know the guy. He might turn out to be a decent governor. I have no idea. I just don't like the coronation concept. All the powers that be have gotten behind him, that leads to a war chest of $4.5 million. I don't think any of these other guys have any kind of money like that to get on the air. So what they're doing is they're doing ridiculous ads where they're blowing things up and threatening to shoot people and everything to get noticed. And I can understand that. But I wanted to tune in and find a bunch of guys who could take on Casey Cagle just for the purpose of having a real election and not a coronation. And I gotta say, I think he was way more polished. I think the other guys looked pretty juvenile. Hunter Hill had a couple of moments there where he looked like an adult in the room. But it saddens me to say that the guy who I've basically been railing against, not having anything to do with policies, just that, come on, we don't do this all the time. It's a big state, lots of people, a lot of politicians. Let's have a real throw at it. Let's have a real gubernatorial contest on the Republican side, because unless lightning strikes 18 times, the Republican primary winner is going to be the next governor. So, you know, let's have a real contest here.
Well, Bill Crane says if he doesn't get over 40%, then he'll have a real challenge in the runoff. But if he does, then it looks like he'll get it.
Well, yeah, but I think that he's probably going to have a runoff. But then we'll see when one of these guys, it would be most likely Kemp, I guess, who would take him to a runoff. And we'll see how ridiculous the ads get, although Kemp will get a little bit of money there. So I looked at that story and I thought to myself, if I ever find it, oh, I can't find it.
This is interesting.
You know, stories I can't stand on right-wing radio and news media is the next story about the crazy colleges and what those crazy liberals are doing. But I have to correct something. Last Thursday was the last show. Do you know what my tease was for that show? I'm Eric Von Hassler. I always start like that. I let people know my name. Clive Cliverson told me it's a good idea.
If people won't know who you are.
Yeah. I'm Eric Von Hassler. Yeah. I'll tell you why Europe will soon have to choose. Oh, no, that was today's. Oh, shoot. I got the wrong one.
See what happened when Jared's not here?
I know. I messed up. But I said on Thursday, but I was going to tell you why the right needs to stop worrying about what the left is doing on college campuses, and I never did that. This story, actually, and I think Clive hates it when I tease something and I don't do it, but the show is improvised, and sometimes I just forget, Clive.
Yeah, but it's like leaving them hanging.
I know. So I don't want to leave them
hanging.
Which
Brandy would never do, or whatever.
That's right, never,
Barbie.
Never.
What is your name?
Bambi.
Bambi!
Amber.
You said
Bambi Bamberson, isn't it?
So this is Evergreen State College up in Washington State. This is the college that has the craziest libs who go after liberal professors and call them members of the alt-right. Now they're having a no whites allowed day of absence again, this time not on the campus because they couldn't get on the campus, so they're doing it near the campus. And this was the story I was going to use to let people on the right know, just forget about what the left is doing on college campuses. Can I tell you this? Let them have the college campuses. Let them have it. Because if you let them have it for 5 years or 10 years, they will be begging conservatives to come back to the campus. Alan Hunt always does this to me. I just get into my point, and then the music, what I lovingly refer to as the shut up music, starts. So when we get back, I will finally make good on my pledge, on my tease from Thursday morning. We're just having a conversation because these ads are always going on. English Nick is not from this country.
Where is he from?
He's apparently somewhere over across the Atlantic.
In Blighty.
Yeah. And so he was saying they're always going after career politicians in these ads. And English Nick said, well, wouldn't that make him good at it?
Yeah, if you had a few years practice at the job.
Well, I mean, sure, there's that way to
work experience, if you will.
And there's also the idea, I'm not the first to say it, that you wouldn't be alarmed to hear it was a career surgeon who was going to do your operation.
Yeah, we're
going
to go in a different place.
We got a career pilot piloting the plane. Nobody would get upset about that.
You want a, I'm not like one of those career pilots. I'm fresh out of pilot school, and I'm ready to take you to wherever you want to go.
He told me he's going to fly at 40,000 feet.
That's right. He's got a whole different way of thinking about flying the plane.
Now, that being
about
said.
About aeronautics in general.
That being said, it's easy to make that comparison, but it's different because you could look at the way the government was put together in this country in the beginning and think that it was not supposed to be career politicians. Every 2 years, you have to run in the House. Every 6 years in the Senate. Very difficult to become President of the United States, even before it was term limited to two terms. So you can see it as an excessive.
Absolutely.
There are so many career politicians. By the way, I found the morning promo that I did not, the tease that I did not fulfill last week. I'm Eric Von Hassler. As I said, I always introduce myself at the beginning. I'm Eric Von Hassler. I'll tell you why the right should stop caring about what the left is doing on college campuses on the Von Hassler Doctrine at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
Right here on WSB. That's a hell of a... What?
Already?
Alan!
Shut up music.
Are you playing the shut up music
shut up.
Again?
Hey, shut up in there and let's go.
What would be kind of funny is if... If I keep trying the whole show
to get to that
to season. Get to this point, and I'm always flummoxed by Alan. All right, I'll try to squeeze it in when we get back. Oh my word! Who could have predicted this? Hour two of the Von Hassler Doctrine begins right now. I am your affable morning chat host, Eric Von Hassler. The other voices you hear are the doctrinaires. Probably I should put to bed this whole thing. I'm Eric Von Hassler.
That's me.
I'm Eric Von Hassler. I'll tell you why the right should stop caring about what the left is doing on college campuses on the... Yeah, this is... Look, it's finally...
It
it's been
like
days.
Yelling.
Hey!
I do yell.
Hey!
I'm trying
what
to...
What college campuses?
I'm Eric Von Hassler. Now sit down and listen.
I still can't believe the man of a thousand voices can't do you.
Well, he's been around me too long, and I have a mercurial voice. Is that not right? He does me. You can do me.
Hey, it's Eric Von Hassler. Hey, hey!
Spot on, as they say
yes,
in the UK.
Absolutely. I believe it sounds just like me. So the idea being, they had another whites-only day, this Evergreen State College. And
no whites only.
No whites. I'm sorry, not whites only. That'd be different.
That's
no,
every day.
That would be no whites allowed day, right. Basically.
No whites allowed.
Are you doing the Snoopy
yep.
Thing? Yeah, absolutely. not one of the biggest Snoopy cartoon specials.
No, but one of the best.
One of the better ones. Yeah. He's not allowed to bring his dog in anywhere.
No dogs allowed.
So here's my point about, is the left getting out of hand on college campuses? Yes, but here's the thing. They're Maoist. You know what? I'm struck by the fact that on my smartphone, I have more information than the Library of Congress has. We live in different times. This is a different discussion, but we got to rethink what learning is, education is, what school is. Kids at a desk for 8 hours. Let's admit it to ourselves as adults. We've kind of worked this into our work schedule. We have a place our kids can be for 8 hours. At some point, that has to stop being one of the reasons we do it this way. So there's a lot that we can do with education and higher education, and we need to start, I hate this phrase, thinking out of the box, but we have to start thinking differently about how we can educate in the future. That's number one. Number two, if the liberals want to own something like college campuses, I say save your breath. Let them have them. Here's what happens with leftists, especially this kind of what we know of as the politically incorrect, call me by this pronoun, blah, 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 kind of types of people. They will go after you so long as you are there. My favorite drink. You who are against them. They'll go after you if you're on campus. If you remove yourself from campus, I've got news for you. Those people don't stop going after people. They start going after their own people. They will go after the other leftists on campus. Why? Because they're Maoist. What are they after? Purity. You've seen this already at Evergreen, where people who are in their 50s, who thought of themselves as liberals all their life, are kicked off of campus because they're not left enough for the new Maoist left that's on campus. You may say, well, we shouldn't seed. Look, go to colleges that are more constitutionally based, if that's what you can find, or rethink education altogether. My example for what the left will do eventually, you look at what the city of Seattle is doing to their largest businesses. No, not their largest businesses. The businesses that put them on the map. The businesses that made anything wonderful due to taxation possible. How many parks and green spaces we can never know. Because Seattle would be a backwater fishing expedition town if it weren't for Amazon and some other large companies there. But look what they're doing there. I mean, they've actually passed a bill that will allow them to tax every new hire that Amazon makes. $250 a year. It's called the head tax. You tax them based on how many you have. So a rational person says that's a tax on hiring people in your community. That's probably not going to work out. But they don't care. They don't mind tearing down Amazon. They have no respect for Amazon, these socialists, these Maoists. They have no. And so if you can tear down Amazon and get a new green space, why not? They have no thinking about, well, we're going to run Amazon out of town because they're spoiled brats. As all American socialists are, they're spoiled brats who always believe that there will be an animal that they can be a parasite upon. So there's no real socialism in America. It's just that we have so much capitalist success that socialists can become parasitic to the entities that make all of this wealth possible. Now, eventually you suck all the blood out of them and they're not there anymore. In this case, the people in Seattle seem to have forgotten that it's not possible to put together a law that makes it illegal for Seattle to move. I mean, for Amazon to move. If Seattle moved from Seattle, that would be a big story. But they can't make a law that makes it impossible for Seattle to move. And these things do happen. Amazon won't move next year. But headquarters do move. I believe it was General Electric, I think, at some point, they actually started out in the state of Connecticut. And their taxes got so high, they moved to, I think, Boston, maybe. I could be wrong on the particulars there. But it has happened before. It doesn't happen overnight. It happens over 5 to 10 years. You start out by not building the new thing there, and before you know it, all the employees are gone. Seattle, as a city, is in trouble because of what they owe people in pensions that are ridiculous and how they allocate their funds. They're not in trouble because Amazon is there hiring people, but rather than deal with why they're having trouble in their budget, as good socialists, and in Seattle, there are a lot of true blue socialists on the city council, why not just be parasitical to this successful thing? And in a way, that's the sort of thing that the left will always do. They will ultimately go after their own. Seattle going after Amazon is going after your own. And on college campuses all over, once the conservatives are gone, the Maoist won't stop going after people. They'll just go after their own kind. Do you know we are this close? I believe it was at Evergreen a couple of years ago, a minority student on her way to a science class was harassed by a bunch of other minority students for studying science. A white man's patriarchal study. We are this close. We are this close to the left saying Einstein was white and patriarchal. Therefore, we shouldn't follow anything that he says. Well, what happens eventually? Your GPS doesn't work. Nothing works. Nothing works. And then they're begging for you to come back. That's what would happen on campuses. I'll tell you right now, if your kid, you know, we got to get out of this idea of college as a rite of passage. Stop for a moment. Stop whatever you're doing. The Von Hessler Doctrine is asking that you think for a moment. If your child wants to go to college, and the reason they want to go to college isn't the great parties or the frats, but the reason they want to go to college is there's a career they want to attain and they need that knowledge. They should go to college. Lawyer, engineer, anything that you actually have to have the college degree and the book learning, as we used to say. But as far as a liberal arts education, which I used to believe in, I believe in a well-rounded education. I'm not one of these people who thinks you should only be taught something that you're going to use later on at work. I think it's good to know a little Shakespeare, know a little poetry, have a well-rounded education. But that is gone. That's all indoctrination. A lot of what's going on in engineering and law departments are as well, but you have by and large, a student coming in who knows what they want, so they can kind of ignore that stuff. In the liberal arts, where you don't know what you want, you don't know what your career is going to be, it's all indoctrination, really, from the left. I mean, you could say, oh, it's radio. Just look into it. We live in the sociology era. And on campus, sociologists are considered scientists, which is ridiculous. It's not science. So if your child is of college age, I would say if the only reason they're going to college is because everybody else is going to college and you don't want to lose the war of the parents about whose colleges and what and that whole nonsense, college as a rite of passage should be dead. If you as a student coming out of high school don't know exactly what you want from college, take a year off. And when I say take a year off, I don't mean play video games and get high. Take a year off equals get a job.
Yeah, wait some tables or something.
Get a job for a year and figure out what you want to do before you go. Do not walk onto these college campuses an open book, because they will fill you with a bunch of nonsense that doesn't work in the real world, and you'll be straddled with debt on top of it. So for this concept of everybody should go to college is so silly. Not because I'm anti-education. I'm not. It's just that saying that everybody needs to do anything in terms of career one way, everybody has to go through this way, is an absurdity. I don't like to bring it up, but I dropped out of school when I was 15 years old. Now I have two kids who went to college. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying everybody should do my path. But let me tell you something. That wasn't for me. And I was wayward for a few years. It's a good thing I got through that. But sitting there in that style wasn't for me. And people are individuals. Saying that everybody should go to college, I bring this up in this because why do you think that this political correctness stuff has gone so far? Because you fell for the concept that everybody had to go through that mill. And now everybody graduates, almost everybody graduates, just buying all the politically correct nonsense whole hog. A total anti-intellectual group of people. And I say that because I have nieces recently coming out of high school, then in some top colleges, and their attitude about something like climate change, for instance, they don't argue stats to me. They argue that 96% of scientists agree with whatever. But mostly their attitude is, Uncle Eric, I'm not stupid enough to question these premises. You see what happened there? I'm not stupid enough to question. That comes out of the sociology department. That, you know, 96%, I'm off on a rant here, 96% of scientists agree that climate change is a real thing.
And they're above questioning it.
Well, answer me this. What's the other scientific thing that the argument is the percentage of scientists who believe in it? Has anybody ever argued to you that E equals MC squared because 96% of scientists believe in it? No, because it keeps working in the experimental phase and in real products.
Some of these scientists who talk about global warming and climate change are white, so we're ignoring them.
Well, that's where it will go. Once the conservatives get off campus, that's where it will go. So give the campuses to the liberals. They'll destroy them just as they're destroying Seattle, and before long, they'll be begging conservatives to come back on campus. I was doing a lot of work there, only half listening. Did Jesus Christ just endorse a candidate for the governor's race in Georgia? Mm-hmm. That's rare. That doesn't happen very often. Let's try to do one more story here.
More headlines. The royal family took to Twitter.
Did I ever hit the more headlines sounder? Let's do it now. People get scared without it. They're frightened and alone.
Yeah, they don't know where
they are. More headlines for Monday, May 21st.
I went off on a rant there at the beginning of the hour.
The royal family took to Twitter following, or somebody in the House of Royals took to Twitter, thanking all of the people for following the romance and celebrating Meghan and Harry.
The
Duke and Duchess of Sussex, as they're now known.
Everyone should know that my response is, the answer is, I'm an American, therefore I didn't see it.
So you're not one of the 23 million Americans who watched it?
23 is low. I'm looking at 29.2 if you put together everything online.
18 million Britons, that makes 41 million people.
Really? More Americans watched? I guess it's a bigger country.
Yeah.
You know what I wonder? First of all, I don't know why anybody would care. Were they in like an electric Jaguar or something?
That I was saw. That they left. They went to the second reception. He looked like they looked
what's
like
that
James,
cost $95,000.
Looked like James Bond and his missus going to the
so
show.
So much like you and me. I cannot understand for the life of me why anybody would enjoy this. Now you tell me. You're English. That's why you're called English Nick, right?
I feel like Harry and William are much more connected because they seem more normal. You know?
Yeah, they're more normal.
For dudes who have 40
I saw
million
a thing where it said, yeah.
pounds in the bank.
Yeah. I saw a thing that said on Twitter, they said they're going
to
put off their honeymoon
and
go back
to
work. Go back to work is what? The biggest welfare recipients in the world?
No,
well, today is Charles' 70th birthday, too.
Okay, well, so they're going to go. It's not going to work.
Well, they got to do the party. There's a reception. That
$45 million this cost. And $40 million of it was security, which means that's on the state.
Bobbies, you know, when you Bobbies lying in the streets.
When you hear them saying, "We're going to pick up a good deal of this," they're picking up the $5 million. The royal family, they're not picking up a penny of that security. I will guarantee you, $40 million to secure the area. When you know, you could walk up to. They should have done it at a Justice of the Peace. They have that over there. What do they call the Justice
like
of the Peace?
Constable Registry Office.
Yeah, they should just go to the Registry Office. I could have.
All right, you'll get married then.
You know what I call that?
Step on up there, young lady.
£40 million of evening oil money. Evening oil.
Evening oil. All right, guess what? That Autumn Fisher. I've told her that she can do some WTF when we return. I gotta wonder if some of these Americans who really got into the royal wedding, are they the same Americans who care about celebrity news?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You think so? Yeah. I just saw, I don't know what I was watching on there. I don't know, the 17th hour of today. And I don't know how many hours they do in the morning.
27,
and
I think.
They're doing their entertainment report, and the sound's down. I just see what's on the screen. And it's like the guy, his name's like Tim Stack or something. He's the... He's the head entertainment writer for Entertainment Weekly or something like that. And I don't know if this is a something about myself. Maybe it's not a good thing, but I'm honest. I do not trust men who report on celebrities. To me, I just see that as a totally – as something girls should be doing. Not only, not exclusively.
Sounds sexist to
not
me.
Being a misogynist. Mm. They can be nuclear engineers as well.
Mm-hmm.
I just – men who follow celebrities around – I'm highly suspicious of. Now, you were saying, English Nick,
yeah,
in for Jared Yamamoto.
That's right.
You were saying that your father, Ivan, because I was wondering about the anti-royalists, what they
well,
feel he, about
my dad's
this.
Not anti-royal. He's a very, very patriotic man.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's country. Not,
and
not
I think he likes the royal family, but I think he would probably have an issue with the $48
million. 45.
Pounds,
45
or whatever
million,
it was.
Yeah, $45 yeah. million, dollars, whatever that
45,
turns into
55,
pounds.
45, yeah.
Yeah, you got to wonder. I got people over there going, how many hot meals would the $45 million buy for the homeless?
Well,
or,
yeah, yeah.
Do they have homeless in England?
Yeah, lots of them, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Please, flatness. Sir, can I have some more?
That's right. The homeless have been in stories
it's
for
flatness
years.
Flatness Ollie.
So,
more porridge, sir, please.
Why? It's got to be the same people who are into celebrities. Because I have these news aggregators that I go to. You know, when I'm putting together my thing.
Yeah.
I have like the new, I have Google News, for instance. There's a Yahoo thing. Obviously, Drudge is out there. So I see headlines for celebrity stuff, and I never click on them, but they're there. The Kardashians have a headline every day. Why? Because somebody is clicking. Somebody is really, really interested in what the Kardashians
are taking off.
And that's as useless as... Mm-hmm. Caring about, I guess she's an American, but who cares? By the way, it's not going to last. I'll tell you that
really?
Right now.
Yeah. Wow,
it's not going to last.
I think they're genuinely in love.
It's they may be, but it's a celebrity wedding.
He's
she's
in
a
lust.
Celebrity. Really?
I think so. Yes.
Haven't they been going together a good long time?
Not as long as they should have. I don't think.
Oh, really? According to your morals,
that's right.
You think they should have.
I think that British should the
did
royals.
Did she wear white?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that all about? Well, doesn't no. that mean anything
it's
anymore?
It's traditional.
Right, she was already...
It doesn't signify as much as it used to.
You know, when Diana married Charles, yeah. She had to prove that she was a virgin.
No, I remember that. She had to like...
What?
Go to yeah. a doctor.
She had to go to a doctor. Right. She had to prove that...
No.
Yeah. Things have changed so much.
A little bit.
Alan wants to know why three men are talking about
it. It's not this. A machine gun.
Because...
It's news, Alan.
It's news. And wait, we have Autumn here. Autumn is chiming in. Autumn, have you ever been asked, like before you married Travis? I think I know the answer to this because you wouldn't be married otherwise. Did he ask for a virginity certificate of some kind?
Oh, yeah. I had to go see multiple doctors. Yes, we hung a sheet out of our window the next day. Yeah. I mean, it was an official thing. Yeah.
That's why you guys work so well together. Let's do this.
WTF with Autumn Fisher.
My dad gave Travis a goat as a dowry.
Yeah. It wasn't, you know, even if you end up not being a good wife, he's got the goat.
I have a WTF about the royal wedding.
Yes.
Why would Prince Harry invite his ex-girlfriend to the proceedings?
Is that what happened?
She's sitting there looking all miserable like, oh, it could have been me.
Because again, I have to tell you, I'm an American, therefore I didn't see it. Yeah. But I mean, that seems interesting
to me.
Kind
of bizarre.
So this was
maybe he sent the invitation. He didn't think that she'd RSVP.
I can't remember her name. She's a blonde lady, and she was sitting there. And there's all these photographs of her, just like she's.
Why
about
is
to cry.
George Clooney there? I saw that on something.
He's American royalty.
Yeah, I guess.
Well,
so.
His wife's a lawyer. Is that something to do with it?
Yeah, she's a United Nations lawyer or something, or League of Nations, or who knows? She's a lawyer who gets really bad.
Why
people
was Vanessa
jail.
Williams there?
I guess it was just the beautiful people. I don't know. I'm an American. I didn't see it. You got any WTF stories?
Sure. Starbucks is announcing that restrooms are open for all visitors, regardless of whether they make a purchase. They are considered a customer.
That's good. Like, I got to go to the bathroom really bad.
Thank you. The guy who, when I try to go to, I don't know, the Tabernacle or something, offers to help me park my car for money.
$10, that's it. I keep an eye on it all.
Going to be hanging out at the Starbucks. Just, you know, not since I gave my other prediction, which I... Sometimes when you give predictions, you just don't know. But when I said that Megyn Kelly is definitely going to be a huge failure on NBC, I meant it. And I knew that I was going to be right. Not since then have I known that I'm so right on an issue. Starbucks will rue the day that they said this. Because basically, you're going to go in and spend money, and you're going to have to be surrounded by loiterers.
You want me to put that cream in your coffee? I'm good at that. They hide me.
You really want to be a bathroom. Now, look, we've all been there. Sometimes you're just, there's something going on and you're out and about and you really need a bathroom. That does happen. I understand that. That will be 2% of the reality.
Yeah, but when you're that person who needs a bathroom, you may not have wanted to shop there, but you, out of courtesy, you might buy a $2 cup of coffee.
That's all fine. And will apply to 2% of the population given this new thing. It will be 98% will be people who... Now they have a reason to be in a store. I don't have to be a customer. So the bathroom thing is just a slight thing. The I don't have to be a customer means I can just go hang out in your store for 8 hours. I mean, what are the deeper rules here? And you're going to end up scaring away. Again, it's kind of like that thing about the college campuses or the socialist in Seattle, what they're doing. You know, these ridiculous ideals that everyone is up to good. No one is up to no good. No one. It's wrong to think that anyone out there is up to no good. Everyone is up to good. And we should open our doors as if that were true. And then 2 + 2 = 4, gravity, reality, all of this stuff will perch in Starbucks because it's now a place where you can hang out, put your feet up.
Bring a bar of soap, clean up for work, shave.
Yeah. Who says?
You can complain about the Christmas cups and not spend a penny.
Yeah.
But this is what happens when people don't have any sense.
Sure.
Because even though, so the people who were got in trouble for trying to use the restroom and quote unquote loitering at that Starbucks, they didn't have any sense to understand that sometimes you have to make a purchase to do something in a store.
It's happened to me.
The person who called the police on those people also didn't have any sense to just say, just let this go. They're leaving. They're waiting for their friend, whatever, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree that common sense, this is after the death of common sense, we ended up with this ridiculous stuff. But it is this weird thing where the left and Starbucks leadership is on the left. They're business people, but they recognize that their future business is millennials. They have to pander to this crowd because that's, you know, the rest of us are getting older. We'll be dead pretty soon. The millennials are the future, and the millennials do this thing. So what did George W. Bush used to always say? He used to say that.
And quite a bit.
Fool me once, that one.
Thinking about doing some painting.
I like painting.
Food on your family.
It's hard to put food on your family. Yeah, I know that man and fish can coexist peacefully.
A lot of things. He said a lot of things, but one thing that wasn't completely confusing that he said to me was that it's his job to deal with the world as it is, not the world as he would wish it would be. This younger generation, and if you're trying to appeal to them, they're all about if we live the world as it should be, the world will follow. That's not true. Gravity will still be gravity. The reality of the world will exist. Some people are, in fact, up to no good. And what's going to happen is Starbucks is going to become a place where paying customers, not every single one of them, it'll depend on where it is, mm-hmm. how big the homeless population is in the area. But many of them, what will happen is non-paying customers will scare paying customers away. And those paying customers won't want to admit why they don't go there anymore, so they'll just find another coffee shop further away that doesn't have this policy and will never admit that they left because they got tired of hanging out with homeless guys while they checked their Gmail. Next story.
The CDC has put out a study that hotel pools and hot tubs have been linked to disease outbreaks.
This should surprise nobody.
Exactly.
But wait, they fill them with chlorine. How can you get...
Well, there is that. I mean, basically, if you're in a hotel pool or any kind of public pool, the chlorine should be so strong that you almost pass out. Right. Then it might be a good place for you and your children to jump into. Because it should basically, the chlorine in a public pool should kill everything but you.
And I've worked at a hotel, yeah. and there wasn't just like this designated staff member for the pool.
Right.
You know, there were pool people that came by, but the day-to-day operation of the pool was left to, you know, a maintenance guy who was just taking the leaves out. No one was checking the chemicals every day.
Yeah, he's the last guy. It's the last thing he does before he leaves at 5 o'clock.
Ugh, the pool.
Pick this stuff up.
A diaper in there, get out of here.
Exactly. Scoop the diaper out, go about your business. Hey, no one is checking the chemicals after that.
Yeah, move on. Yeah, and I'll tell you what's even worse than public pools is... sort of like a public spa, like a what's the word I'm looking for?
Sauna.
Not a sauna. No. Just I guess
like a hot tub.
A hot tub. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I always say spa. I don't know why that's in my mind. Is it
I feel
the same
like the
thing
spa
as a hot
is in
tub?
Your home.
Yeah. Okay. And a hot
you
tub.
Know?
I don't know. A hot tub isn't anyway.
Anyway.
Let's not go too far down that rabbit hole. But that is the public hot tub. Is
Ooh.
I mean that's just warm that's enough. Just, it's not it's warm, but it's not hot enough to actually cook out any bad disease.
It's people soup.
It's just right.
Yeah, it's a stew. It's like human stew.
Yep. Human stew.
It's a the germs are simmering is what they're doing now.
Yes, yeah. you know, I'll just wade into this.
Think about it. That's why your refrigerator is cold.
Right.
Because it stops things from growing.
And it's also why your microwave is amazingly hot. The thing in the middle is not good, where you're just kind of tepid, you know, or just mildly warm. That is, in fact, stew. Human stew. I'm not referring to the great daredevil. I don't know why. Human stew sounds
hey,
like...
Hey, how are you? I'm human stew.
Sounds like a guy who would, I don't know, jump his through a hoop of fire or something.
You want to watch me go through a hoop of fire? Ready?
Human,
let's go.
Human stew, ladies and gentlemen.
He's a human cannibal.
All right, we have... Alan, that music...
Oh, shut up, music.
See, it's Alan, who I believe... possibly could be a misogynist. I'm not saying that's true. I think he recognized that Autumn was about to speak again. He hits the shut up music. We'll be back. All right, we don't have a whole lot of time left here on the radio side. Autumn Fisher, do you have one more WTF?
I do. The oldest living person ever at 128 wishes she had died young.
Oh, she says every day of her life has been horrible.
What's young for her, 101?
Yeah, she wished she had gone, before 120.
God, her great-grandkids are dead.
Yeah, yeah. So actually,
my last daughter.
Yeah, she died at 104.
She died 104 years old.
So you're telling me in 128 years you've not had one good day?
Not a single happy day in my life. I have always worked hard digging in the garden.
What about the last episode of MASH? Well, I guess you didn't get that.
It was a baby. I thought it was something different, but it was a baby.
You were let down.
It was so sad. Yeah, my whole life is sad. Yeah,
you thought it was a chicken, but it turned out to be a baby.
She was 98 when that was on.
Yeah, well, she was a young gal. So you were born, I don't even know if you're really 129 years old. They're going off some sort of papers.
I survived the Civil War. I survived World War II.
No, you didn't survive the Civil War.
The Russian Civil War.
Oh, okay, all right, yeah.
Her last name sounds like a Russian dessert, Istanbulova.
Oh,
I love a bit of Istanbulova.
Sounds better than any day of her life, apparently, has been.
It was horrible. All I did my whole life was be beaten by my grandmother.
Is she still alive?
Oh, my grandmother beat me for showing my neck.
You know what, can I say something, maybe... Well, you shouldn't have shown your neck. You know, back in the early 1900s, you didn't do that. Where's this lady from? She's from the Russia.
I live in Kazakhstan.
There's no way.
Chechnya.
Well, they're known for being old in this region, apparently. There's somebody else who's like 104. If she's not 128, she's 115.
Okay.
I mean, she's over 100.
My daughter died 102.
104. You're actually
104, give or take.
Can I say something that's a little politically incorrect here? I know you're about to turn 129 in about a week, and you say that you've every single day of your life has been horrible. I have to say, some of that has got to be your fault. I think your attitude.
My fault. I show my neck.
If you need to get over that, it happened before 1900. I would say if you couldn't find one good day in 129 years.
Sounds like an old chicken.
I don't have time for rest or entertainment.
I understand you had a hard life, but one day? You should have had one day. All right. What's your name again? I don't even know your name.
Koku.
Choku.
Koku.
You anyway. Call me Koku.
All right, Koku.
Koku, no.
Hey, you have a good day. Maybe this will be the first one. You got to hope springs eternal. All right, we're going to go over and do the podcast stuff. Join us over there. Herman Cain has the three big stories you need to know about next. We'll chat with you tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., but until then, get off my lawn. All right. Don't pinch yourself. Folks, this is real. Hour three. The podcast hour of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins right now. I don't know what this music is, but Jared Yamamoto is not here. Tim Andrews is still here. English Nick, in for Jared Yamamoto, is still here.
Good day.
Autumn Fisher is still with us.
Hello.
Greg Rush joins us from Studio B1 in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Jesse Brooks is here for a moment.
What's up? Running
the equipment. But he has to run away very soon. So if you have problems that you want to complain about in terms of audio and such on Facebook Live, you got to do it in the first 5 minutes.
Because
basically Jesse's going to be gone and we're going to have one static shot after that. So I think Jared sets it up that way so that we all understand that we're not a complete thing without Jared. So there you go. Let's see. Where was I going to start? There was a couple things I wanted to start. I wanted to start with Tim Andrews. Because I feel like beating him up a little bit.
What did I do today?
Although we only played your bit once. I meant to play it a second time.
Yeah, we could play it now.
We'll play it again. No, this is... check out this setup, Greg, Russ.
Is Tim on a microphone?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Yeah, he's on a
microphone. I can't hear him.
Oh, my goodness. Turn on
whatever...
There's
got to be a send in the board in the control room for his mic.
Send in the...
I don't know if it'd be a utility or an addition, but it's something. Whatever would send it to me. I don't hear Tim.
All right, I just told Alan about it. Anyway, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
How
just
could
fine.
You hear me and not him? Can you, the same?
I can hear Nick. Each pod has a different...
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay, well, there you go. Very good. So here's the setup, Greg. The setup was the story said that the China-U.S. trade war...
Is on hold.
Yeah, I know that story.
You know that story. And then so we went from there.
I read it on the toilet.
Oh, really? Well, and then I says, this is my setup. I says, well, you know, it really is on hold because I tried to check in. And then we got this. That's me dialing.
Punching the buttons.
You have reached the United States-China trade war hotline.
Para español, por favor.
Your call is very important to us. Please stay on the line, and a customer service representative will be with you shortly.
It's on hold.
Your call is important to us. Please stay on the line, and a trade war representative will be with you shortly. Maybe. My representatives are busy making America great again. Don't hang up. Hey, you. Relax.
Now, he's behind me. Yeah. But I'm guessing Greg didn't even crack a smile.
He did chuckle a little bit, I think.
Well, I was thinking, if you're going to execute that properly, I like that. But then for the whole show, you would just let that run. That's your whole show. So you set it up, and then you do like 2 hours of just the hold music. That would really get people talking.
You go back to it to see if they've come to you.
No, he's not talking about going back to it, which I was going to do from time to time.
Yeah.
What he is saying, Eric, you should do it the way that Decker lost his job. Go all in.
Yeah.
It's a two-hour bit that never ends. And if you weren't there during the setup, like 98% of people over 2 hours, well, to hell with you.
Well, you keep having Tim jump in and interject. Well, you know, the character he played there, the representative. I think that Rodney Ho would have written an article immediately.
Well, of course, you always write an article when someone loses their job, which is what happened to me.
You wouldn't have lost the job. This would have drawn me even more interest to the show. It's like, this guy really, he called the trade hotline, the trade war hotline. He was on hold for 2 hours.
And I would say to people, look, that's how it is. So if we're going to do something, you're on hold for like 2 hours. The funny doesn't even really start percolating until like an hour, 40 minutes in.
Well, it comes and goes. Here's the thing. It starts and then, people laugh for 10 minutes and like, oh, they're still doing this. And they hate it. But it comes back around. Within 45 minutes, they're laughing again,
Laughing and your program director is trying to get into the studio to kill it.
Well, the people who are really into it, all seven of them are laughing. The rest of them are abandoning me and my advertisers.
It's a one-time thing. It's called an investment. It may hurt for that single day,
sure.
But in the long run, people like this Eric Von Hessler, it stirs interest, is what I'm saying.
It's like street cred, sort of. It gives me street – if I'm willing to go that far and do that, I don't have to do that every day. I've done it. So,
and even if you get fired, you'll have so much respect within the community.
Surely.
You'll be back on the radio tomorrow, right, Greg?
Check out my Instagram updates.
Yeah. Yeah, if I was fired, I agree that I would be back on the air within 2-3 years. Easy. It wouldn't be more than 2.5 years that I would be out.
So
what's the matter, Jesse? Are there problems? Everything good?
We're good.
All right, well, then waiting for the shoe to drop.
Oh, for you? No, you were you do this quite often, and
I didn't complain about anything today.
Hold on. You're being defensive.
Hold on, Tim. He's got to tell you what you've been feeling and thinking.
Right.
Right. What's going on here? We have some sort of insurrection, some sort of mutiny.
Mutiny. Mutiny on the doctrine.
No, I mean, Tim is one of these people.
Yeah.
Tim is one of these people who proclaims things. I'm done with Westworld. Never. I don't even watch
Hot
Westworld.
Kettle Black, huh?
No.
I'm not going to watch cable news for a year.
Oh, listen to you. Listen to you. I had watched cable news for 100 years leading up to that. I'm still pretty much.
I said I'm bored with it.
No, you said I'm done with Westworld. And the reason is, now the best that I could tell, and I'm not watching Westworld. However, I'm told that it's great and I'm going to binge watch it. At some point.
First season's excellent. Second season's kind of
dragging. Second season, you're only three in, right? And by the way, it occurs to me that on all of these shows that go on for years, everybody hates the second season. Seems like the second season, then they get back their rhythm,
not
their
Sopranos,
mojo.
Not The Sopranos. That was the best season.
Well, I don't know about The Sopranos. I've never seen it.
I loved Friends the second season.
That doesn't count.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That had the highest concentration of homophobic jokes, season two.
Are you bean counting for the homosexual lobby?
I feel like they really, really got into Rachel's character in the second season.
She bloomed. Yeah. But that's not what we're speaking about here. I'm just saying he likes to declare things, and it's somewhat annoying. His latest declaration is, I'm done with Westworld. Maybe they want you got to work a little bit for the payoff.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah?
What's next? I'm never voting Republican again.
Oh, is that what you're going to say next?
Why would I say that?
I'm kidding. Well, you voted Republican last time, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
After being a big leftist his whole life because...
I voted for Republicans all my life.
He has told me that... He's not a white nationalist. He's a nationalist who happens to be white.
He's a proud American, is what
he's a nationalist who happens to be white.
Yeah,
not a white nationalist.
Yeah.
And he says there's a difference, and I don't know.
I've
never unleashed Greg on him, who lives in Soho or somewhere. I don't know. He doesn't live in Soho.
Soho.
He lives in New York.
Right, he lives in the West Village.
Hang on, you're in Brooklyn, right, Greg?
Yes.
Same thing.
Yes. Brooklyn. Soho. You know what Soho stands for, right, Eric?
South Houston.
South of Houston, because it's south of Houston Street. If, and I was just in Texas on a South Houston Road.
Yeah.
South, and I said Houston, and people looked at me.
Well, like, first of all, are they referring to the same man?
Because no, different men. Sam Houston and then some guy Houston, which was like a Savannah politician back in the time of independence. He was one of the first to push for independence, this Houston guy.
Are you saying he was from Georgia, and yet
he was.
Soho is named after him?
What's was Soho in London, then?
He was a big figure. You know, I've wondered that, and I've never actually looked it up.
It's south of Her Highness's origin.
Nothing rhymes with origin. Except for porridge.
I'm just saying it's boring. I don't want to have to work at every TV show. There's so many that you have to
work.
So
you want it to be spoon-fed to you?
No. I want a story that's easy to follow.
He wants it just a little bit easier than it is.
Yeah.
Because there's really not a great way to understand the plot and like what's going on without seeing someone else sort of recap it for you.
Like Twin Peaks, I know that there's plenty of things I don't understand, and it's multi-layered.
But that's Lynch.
But that's Lynch.
People hated it for the same reason.
Yeah, but those are
idiots. Didn't make any sense.
It's not being
weird.
Why
does it have to make sense?
It's not being weird for the sake of being weird. Everything is part of the story.
Ask yourself that question. Why do you expect all stories to make sense?
They should.
No, it's not that it doesn't make sense. It's that they're doing a lot of time hopping without explaining that they're time hopping. So you're not sure whether this is taking place in the future or the past. But that's the same thing that the guy is going through. So maybe we're supposed to be experiencing
you
it like he is.
You just said that they're time hopping, so you know they're time hopping.
Hold right, on. But you can't tell while you're watching it. You can't tell what.
Well, they
time
do. They should put an indicator in there, like that '90s show Sliders. You ever watch that?
Oh, what
they
happened?
Jump.
God, yeah, I remember that show.
They jump into the wormhole, and you know, could just slide through the wormhole with them.
Right. It's like, they're sliding.
the whisper.
Yeah, I will give you this. With Westworld, you'll see a scene with the same characters. And then the next scene, the same characters are in a different time, and you don't really know it
yet. I guess what I'm saying
But there are telltale signs that they're in a different time.
I guess what I'm saying is, if the payoff is big and makes it worth it, then it's worth it.
Maybe.
If the payoff isn't worth it, that's the time to judge.
I'm wondering about Westworld with that. I'm wondering if there is going to be a big payoff. And for the record, Autumn, you sounded like my mum just then when you said that it's different times and it jumps around and I don't know what's going on.
Look, Lost did this to everybody. Yeah. Lost
Caroline
is the first
does that all the time.
Show that got into the zeitgeist and, this is a cool show. And then toward its last two seasons, what's going on? What are you talking about? Yeah. Oh, wait, they were in purgatory?
Look at you with the big... First of all, spoiler alert. Secondly...
Real quick, hang on.
Look at you with the big words, zeitgeist.
13 years ago, it's not a spoiler.
Isn't this a man who, when he's not here, has a podcast about these shows?
Right.
It's your bread and butter to explain these things
to the audience.
I let
people talk about
them.
I
brought somebody else on to talk about this popular show I'm not watching.
Right. Radio Labyrinth.
Isn't it his duty to watch these shows?
No, it's Autumn's his duty. On the show. Autumn, Stephanie, Jeff, Ira, they all watch individual things, and I sit back and let them talk.
Yeah, it's his duty also to present his thoughts on things, and that's a very bold statement. I don't know anything about it because I don't want to talk about it. I don't watch it anymore.
I don't want
it. It's saying something.
It is saying something. So he's saying,
don't waste your time.
I quit you, Westworld.
You can't do a podcast as I watched 27 Jordan Peterson videos on YouTube until I fell asleep.
Yeah, you're going down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Now, I fell down the Jordan Peterson, Dave Rubin.
I'm going to
Rubin.
See him soon.
You know, I would go see him, but I'm not interested in all the stuff from the crowd, which I would imagine you're going for. You like all this, you know, there's going to be some SJWs.
You should go with me. I have an extra ticket.
No, I don't want to go. I see the stuff on YouTube. I think the guy is rather brilliant.
When is it?
I like what he's doing. Oh, Greg will go with you.
It's in a couple of weeks. A listener bought me tickets.
Who is the guy?
Jordan Peterson. He's a Canadian professor who's been in a lot of trouble for saying that equality of outcome is better than, politically correct outcome.
Natural outcomes.
Natural outcome.
Yeah.
Everybody's starts from a baseline.
Yeah. Birth.
Yeah.
Baseline. Tabernacle.
It's gonna be the tabernacle. I find this guy to be very, very smart, very interesting. Yeah. The people. I have a lot to say about this. The rabbit hole. Remind me that. But the people.
We're going down the rabbit hole. Hi, it's Monica Perez.
The people who follow the Jordan Petersons and the Ben Shapiros and the Dave Rubens and all that, I find that the speakers themselves are quite interesting, and I agree with a lot of what they're saying. But the followers don't appear to me to to get it. I was watching one the other day. The headline for the thing said Jordan Peterson something like destroys feminism in front of two feminists. And I watched the thing, and Jordan Peterson was great, but it was actually a very good conversation between Jordan Peterson and there was destroys to mean. To me, if you destroy this concept of watch this, you'll see somebody be destroyed. They do this on the left and the right. To me, destroyed means at some point the person who's supposed to be destroyed is going hamada 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 hamada. Like they don't know what to say next. Destroyed.
But that's why you clicked, right? Didn't you want to see?
No, because
it sounds like having the discussion is the better option. That's what you'd want to see.
That's what I would want to see. It just happened to be next in the queue, and
everything's a BuzzFeed headline.
I was down the Jordan. Yeah, it's really pathetic because I was watching this and I was just thinking, well, this is on the BBC. It'd be nice if we had conversations like this on American television.
The BBC,
15 minutes long, calm, relaxed, two sides who completely disagree with each other, being kind, respectful to one another. It'd be great to see. But the headline destroy everything has this.
It's like a tribal mentality.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because both opinions can't exist on the earth.
Yeah, it's like the most violent description of a conversation. You know,
you watch it, it's like, no, I think he won the argument.
He obliterated him.
But if you're on that person, if you're on one of their sides, then they're being victimized by the other person, or they're being dominated by the other person.
But it's actually it's quite,
it doesn't have to be like that.
It's quite interesting that this is growing out as part of the political correctness writ large, that this movement of speakers who are very smart, interesting, dispassionate speakers is coming up through YouTube. It occurred to me that if you're 17 years old in the year 2018, that's this year.
Is that now?
Yes, right now.
Yeah.
If you're 17 years and like you have an interest in the world, it really early on would depend which one of these rabbit holes you fell down into. If you fall down into the Black Lives Matter, everybody's a victim, identity politics rabbit hole, you would be completely convinced of that if you were 17 years old. And if you happen to fall the other way down the Jordan Peterson, Ben Shapiro, Dave Rubin,
Alex Jones.
Well, no, I wouldn't put Alex Jones in there.
Oh, all right, fine.
I'm talking about rational, dispassionate people who explain the problems.
There's a third rabbit hole for the Alex Joneses of the room.
Third rabbit hole where you just never get back out. You can't get past the Kennedy assassination. So, but it's interesting because I know if I was 17, either way, just being a curious mind, either one of those that I would have fallen down, if they were available to me, probably would have convinced me of some stuff for a couple of years until I heard the other side. But I do find them to be reasonable and dispassionate.
They call Peterson, these protesters who show up, usually students, usually very young.
Yeah,
Maoist. They will shout that he's a communist. They'll shout that he's a Nazi.
Right, yeah, he's a Nazi.
And this guy, 15 years ago, would have been considered a classical liberal.
Sure.
And he was a professor in Canada, still is, but he was against this law that Canada passed that you couldn't say things. And, you know, other countries, not the U.S., because we can't, but the other countries will pass laws.
This was about trans people.
Yeah.
And Canada passed a law that said it would be illegal not to
refer to them by their
chosen pronoun.
Right.
And the interesting thing about this guy, Jordan Peterson, he got famous for saying that that's wrong.
Right.
And everybody thought that he hated trans people, but he didn't hate trans people. And since has said, I have friends like this, and I call them whatever pronoun they want me to call them. His objection was to a law that says it's illegal. He's against any law about speech.
Yeah.
And that used to be not deep at all. You know, in 1978, an average mind could go from one to the other pretty quickly. Oh, he's not against trans people. But now that might as well be 37 feet below ground to try to get to the point where you realize, oh, he's not anti-trans. He's anti-speech laws. And you need to be as well if you value your free speech from whatever side that you're on. And he's always quite reasonable in the way he goes back and forth with these people. I find them interesting, but I think that he gives proof to, or not proof, but it's another voice in what I've said, that we live in the sociological era,
right?
Where, you know, it's his point about he got famous because of this one interview. I can't remember who it was with, this lady.
I think it was the BBC.
Yeah, it was this lady, and it was on the trans topic, and he did flummox her. There was a hubbada, hubbada, hubbada moment, because her point was, why should your right to say what you want trump the right of a trans person to be comfortable in a situation? And he just turned it on her without being bellicose or anything. He said, that's debate. He says to this lady, you're trying to make me uncomfortable right now, and that's your job. That's how we get to the truth. You are challenging my premises, and that's how we get to the truth. And if you go watch this video, I can't remember what this lady's name was, there is a moment there where she goes, I'm having a hard time getting myself around that one, you know. And
destroyed.
He destroyed her.
Got her.
That was the closest thing to destroying, though, although it's very early on in the – so I find these people to be interesting. And then you realize it's kind of a cottage industry, which is sort of weird on its own. Like, these people tour together.
Oh, yeah. Now, somebody wrote an article for The Times, and she's a liberal. She wrote this article calling them the deep web intellectuals. First of all, they're not in the deep web, but that's what she's calling them.
That's where heroin is bought, right?
Right. So they're
and
not
people,
deep web.
Human beings and heroin.
But she gave it a name, the Ben Shapiros, the Dave Rubens, and she's a liberal. She wrote this.
Yeah.
And then on her Twitter feed, how dare you give the normalizing. And blah,
see what
blah.
That is? That's a thing. Normalizing. That means you don't even speak about the person or to the person or engage in debate because you're normalizing them. Okay, that's one way of looking at it. Another way is, if they have better points than I do, I never actually have to be put on the spot to back up my reasoning. So rather than actually engaging and debating, don't normalize. I mean, you have these people on the left who didn't want to normalize the president, as if we were going to go 4 years and
see. Well, look what happened. Look what happened. Jimmy Fallon did it, and now his ratings are tanking.
Exactly. Exactly. we were supposed to. But I mean, that's one thing. It's ridiculous enough to say Jimmy Fallon, but I believe that these leftists thought that CNN should ignore him, as if we were going to go 4 years. And like 4 years from now, they tell us, hey, by the way, Kim Jong-un got rid of it's like the idea. No, he was normalized by the 50% of America that wanted him in there, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
Well, SNL really had to step in the opposite direction after they had him on as a host.
I know. Now it's just pure.
Which, by the way, maybe you talked about this on the show, I assume. The fact he faked that phone call during a table read through at SNL.
Did you see this? No, I didn't. No, hold on. You got to take me right to the beginning. I don't know this story.
Okay, so Donald Trump hosted Saturday Night Live when he was still a candidate.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing a table read through. He picked up his phone, faked a phone call, mm-hmm. 3 minutes. Like, oh yeah, that's great. Puts the phone down. Says, hey guys, great news. My book's number one.
Hello.
Yeah.
So everyone knows that it was a fake phone call just because they've just seen that before.
No, it was fake. Apparently, the phone didn't ring.
Is this John Barron?
He just picked up. Excuse me, and made sure to have like a conversation so people could overhear his side of it. Right. What a strange thing.
Well, you know,
like Michael Scott from The Office would do that.
Yeah, yeah. And you know that Trump. Oh, yeah. Trump would be really loud on that phone call.
Hello. You're saying number one? Oh my word! Wow. Hey,
how's the book doing in China?
China, it's great.
As it turns,
hey Michael Che, number one book, baby.
as it turns out, that wasn't a very great episode of Saturday Night Live.
I don't even remember it.
It wasn't all that funny. Well, he did the thing with the Drake video that was kind of funny.
Yeah, he called me on my cell phone.
But
he insisted on improvising. Apparently,
he
I'm really good at it.
Like, I don't want to work. But there was this really, you know, the thing with Saturday Night Live has always been this, and I think this was toward the end of the show. Sometimes the best sketches, the weirdest sketches,
will be at
like 12:10 or something after the second performance of the musical act. And there's one where there's a band, it's a local band, and Donald Trump plays the theremin or something. And the whole thing is, you guys aren't letting me breathe here. Like, I want to – I'd have to go back and watch it again. It didn't get hardly any laughs, but it was non-political, totally ridiculous. And it's the one that stands out for me is if you look at – he either plays the harp or a theremin. I think it's a theremin, and they're in, like, a local club.
Who was the musical guest on that episode? Who did he have to
introduce? It was that Sia, I believe. And
ladies and gentlemen, see.
They also did
Hair Lady.
She's the one who, yeah, she's the one who's got her eyes covered.
Yeah, but except now that she's, I've seen her now. She didn't keep it going as long as you have to, like the Juggalos or
Is
Kiss.
Is she hideous or something?
She's just older.
A little older than you would expect.
So she was trying, and she wrote a lot of Rihanna and Lady Gaga songs, I think. Yeah. No, maybe not Lady Gaga, somebody. It's really good. She's really great, but she had a great voice, and so she wanted to have a little bit of a career.
But she knew being like 37 or something, you can't start a pop career. So she
Right, so she thought, I'll look interesting, but also really you can't see my older face.
And I like wrinkly people.
Well, you know the young hate the old in this country.
Sure they
do. She doesn't have a look without
She looks like a housewife.
She just looks like a lady, which is fine, but not for a pop career.
I was looking at Autumn's Instagram, because I'm not on Instagram.
Facebook?
No, that other thing she does for roses or
Snapchat?
Whatever.
Was it?
No.
That doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, it doesn't?
No.
My references. Even when I try to go there, my references are terrible.
It's gone.
No, I was... you look like you have quite a happy family, I have to say. But then I see stories all the time that tell me that that's not true. Like all the happiness that you see on Facebook.
Fake.
Like there's no pictures of Autumn, you know, yelling at her daughter for the 14th minute straight.
Well, no, it's not like that. But it is like, you know, I'm not doing a Instagram story where I'm telling Ellie, like, I've warned you 3 times. If I have to tell you again, you're getting out of this bed and you're sleeping in your own bed. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
I had to unfollow her because I don't like what she's turning her son into.
Oh, what is she? Oh, because of the beret in his hair?
Yeah.
The beret.
Yeah. Is it beret or beret?
Get over it.
It's a beret.
It's a beret.
Why do I say beret?
He's going to see that picture
because
in 20
Because a beret
years.
Is a hat.
Oh, a beret.
It's close.
There you go. Well, the belt.
It was
both
a clip. I just put a clip in his hair because his bangs were in his face and I can't deal.
I got news for you, Tim. This is the sad part of the story. They're so poor, they cannot afford to get their child a haircut, which is... Really?
You have a friend who works at a barbershop. Bring the kids down.
I know what it is.
Oh, you really want the kids in the barbershop?
That's a cheap haircut. A flight down to Atlanta.
Yep.
I have an idea about this. Oldham is so into this drag queen lifestyle thing, and she's so into these drag queens.
Yes.
Just make your son into
that's
one.
That's what I think is
Are you teaching
deal.
Them to
You're
tuck
You have one
already?
On the doorstep.
That's the hardest skill. How do you tuck it so you can't tell?
Can he twerk yet?
Wait a minute. Hold on.
It's actually not that hard to tuck.
Hold on. Well, not at this age.
It is for me.
Listen.
What would
Let's
Pete's,
not get
what's
nasty
Pete's drag name going to be?
It's not nasty. That's like a real thing. It's like, because there's no sign of it. It's like, this is.
I thought drag
to
queens were open about the fact that they're men. Why would they have to.
Well, because it's a fantasy. You're giving a fantasy of a woman.
Oh, believe me.
So...
I've never fantasized of a woman who looked like
fantasy
Liza
as in,
Minnelli.
Like, the whole picture. Not like a sexual fantasy, but like the picture of something. Like I'm giving you
drag queens,
all of the pieces that would equal
my
this,
mother,
whatever they're trying
my
to
My mother was a bartender and a waitress, and drag queens quite often look like friends of hers that she'd bring to the house in like 1977.
Hi, yeah, darling.
Hair to the ceiling.
Oh, you like my fierce makeup.
Glasses.
You have the wrong idea of what drag queens look like.
Dame Edna, still to me, is the drag queen. Edna.
No, drag queens.
So you have an antiquated idea of what a drag queen looks like.
They now look like clowns.
Okay.
Like fierce carnival clowns.
I think that if I have an antiquated view, I think Autumn has a sort of a primrose, kind of a rose-colored glasses
Those
view.
Kabuki-faced men, women are not scaring our children at all.
One day we're going to find out what's at the bottom of this. Why in her mid-30s?
Ellie's not afraid of Trixie.
No, I was probably not because...
She asks me a lot of funny questions, too. She's like... Because I show her who Trixie Mattel is as Brian, and I say, look, that's Trixie. Mm. And she's like, but that's a boy. I said, yeah, Trixie is a boy, and he dresses like a lady.
Doesn't that prove,
hold on,
your kid has never even been to school. Just that question, doesn't it prove that it's natural to wonder why a boy is now looking like a girl?
See, that's the thing. I think to someone who is conservative, I would be viewed as a liberal, and for someone who's a liberal, I would be viewed as a conservative because
destroyer, Eric, destroyer.
Oh, I'm about to
destroy
Atlanta. Shock jock destroys co-host,
and then people too.
Yeah, because
no, you're wrong, Autumn. He destroyed her.
The thing is, she is allowed to ask those questions, and I'm not going to treat her like she shouldn't think that way or shouldn't ask those things. Yeah, like totally. She is a boy. That is confusing. I get it.
Aren't you normalizing this behavior for your daughter? What if your daughter would like to grow up to be a, I don't know, just some sort of person who's really, really strictly conservative? I don't mean politically necessarily, but what if your daughter just wants to be like a Puritan or something? What if, how do you know that your daughter wants to be an open-minded individual? And you're forcing her to understand everything. And she's not even four. I never knew what a
drag queen. No, she is four. She just turned four.
Oh, happy birthday. I had no idea who...
I don't want you to say... I want you to take that happy birthday back. Yeah. It was filled
happy
with venom.
Happy birthday.
That was a loaded happy birthday.
I had no idea what drag queen was when I was four years old.
You just knew Milton Berle.
Why would you do adult stuff?
Because, listen, I'm not... telling her, I'm not showing it to her and making her watch it and like squishing it into her life. I'm just she's interested in what I'm looking at, and so
she's looking at it because you like it, so she likes it. All I'm saying is let her come her own terms on it.
She
now knows mommy is normalizing drag queens.
Mommy likes queers.
Yes. Well, I like everybody until I don't like you. And then it has nothing to do with anything about
living next door. It usually has something to do with her not liking you. See, I realize
I'm only
now
fighting
that,
with two out of the many neighbors.
I don't
that
know.
I'm
I don't know. I think Autumn, now I realize that she has a problem with all these neighbors. Maybe it's Autumn.
Man.
I assume it's all the neighbors.
All these neighbors. Uh-huh. I have a problem with two neighbors out of the 12 neighbors that we have.
Well, the other ones you probably don't deal with hardly at all.
No, I talk to them all the time.
Yeah,
We're friends. That's the thing. That's the thing that makes us feel okay about this, you know, this awkwardness between me and these other neighbors is that, but we get along so well with everyone else in this building and whoever else we know in this complex.
I just don't like the racial aspect of the whole thing. It's always neighbors of a different race that you don't get along
with. Because that's all there is.
You're the neighbors of a different race.
Yes, we are the diversity in this neighborhood.
Oh. You're the minority.
And they're about to lose. How do you feel? Huh?
White flight.
Yeah. Yes. Now you're just leaving.
No, but it's funny. So all of us are moving out of this
building. Nothing funny about racism.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you.
Can I just add one more thing about this whole drag thing?
Yeah. Oh, here comes.
No.
Here comes nationalist.
No.
Archie Bunker.
No.
Yes.
I think that most people painting with a broad brush would find it rather off-putting to see a 10-year-old boy in makeup twerking.
But you keep watching that video over and over
by his mother.
Again.
I watched
Autumn, what do you have to say about that,
once
Autumn?
I watched it.
You destroyed her!
Am I wrong to think that it's off-putting? Possibly so.
No, I agree that I think it was appropriate for my 10-year-old to be twerking.
It's all about the mother. It's all about the single mother
wanting
attention.
First of all, you're making the mistake of assuming people listening have any idea what you're talking about when you didn't tell them. The Amazing Devin, is that
yes,
what this is?
The Amazing Devin, the 10-year-old drag queen.
Who is
princess, whatever.
Yeah. And
I think that if the 10-year-old found all, like, sort of veered this direction on their own, and you support it in a healthy way, I think that that's fine. If it comes around to exploiting that, and also creating a boundary, because I mean, letting kids go off and be insane is not right either. You know, like saying like, well, you can twerk in school because that's just how you're expressing yourself. That's not appropriate.
No,
and that
not.
Has nothing to do with whether he wants to be a drag queen or not.
It's a purely sexual dance.
Yeah, it's not meant for you to be. You should not be twerking.
That's your problem if you're sexual.
So,
well, exactly.
With this kid, though, are the parents pushing this contest?
Parents.
Assume, single
right?
mom. Yeah,
we
single
can't,
mom.
We can't, Greg, you can't ask this crowd this question.
No, hold on. No, I watched the video.
But I am
and
curious.
And I saw the mother. It seems to me it's another thing where the mother gets to be the star and I don't know about awards, but be constantly with the LGBTQs.
Funny, though? I haven't seen it, but isn't it just funny video?
Well, no,
they're messing around?
The kid is declaring who he is. He's 10 years old. I thought I was going to be an astronaut when I was 10 years old.
He's declaring he's a twerker.
Your mom was like, go ahead, go to space.
He's got eyelashes on. He's,
but
you know, he's doing the whole
thing. No,
well, I don't know that at 30 he's going to dig those videos being around.
Isn't it just playing dress up?
I wouldn't even want. No, it's more than that because he's declaring who he is.
Well,
but
he
can declare as Autumn said. The parent is pushing this out. It's the exploitation. The same thing as the parents who send their small daughters to the beauty show.
Thank you.
Six.
Yeah.
No, I agree. You should not cement anything in your child You know, if your boy likes to play with Barbies, you just let him. You don't make a big deal. You just let it happen.
Yeah.
You let, you know, look, they're going to be 18 at some point, and they're going to tell you who they are and what they are. There's no need to cement that in or decide early to keep them from becoming who they might really
be. So are you saying the videos are cementing him into that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. I think that when you become famous for something when you're 10 years old, you're not allowed at 13 to be a completely different person, which is what happens to most people. I declared all kinds of things when I was 9 or 10 years old.
Wait till he hits puberty and he starts seeing women and he's like, boom, I'm done with this.
So I'm seeing this for the first time. I'm thinking that this kid, I don't think this kid's going to regret this. I think this kid is the way, that's the way
How
this kid's going to be.
We don't know.
I get a vibe from it.
I was really into what the point is, whether that's true or not, it's not, it's a parent's job to make sure that their kid doesn't become famous at 10. You know, unless you're on some sort of sitcom.
Or Macaulay Culkin.
Look at him. Yeah. What kind of life has this led to with this guy?
Yeah.
Having all the money.
Well, if this woman loves her kid and she's there for him, I don't know.
Why does he have to be famous for that?
We don't know whether the mom sort of pushed any fame onto him. It could be other people making videos of him because of how he's acting.
Well,
and
you hear him, you know, the interview portion, he's talking like he's 45 years old. Well, when I was 2, I saw an episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, and I made a decision. I don't remember anything I saw when I was 2.
No, he's just repeating what people have told him.
That's something
his mom
told him. So
you don't remember anything?
Well, yeah, I remember like, you know, sort of brief sort
flashes.
Of visual flashes.
Yeah.
From when I was 2 years old. But
I remember Pinwheel for some reason.
Pinwheel?
Which was like the Canadian version of Sesame Street.
Oh,
Pinwheel, wow. Pinwheel spinning around that thing.
Yeah, Nickelodeon used to show it.
I loved that show.
You remember that when you were 2? I don't remember.
Three, definitely. Because it turned into, I was watching, it was a show with segments.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't need to watch the full hour. And it was time for me to go to preschool. And the woman came to pick me up. And I threw a fit because I wanted to watch the last, the rest of that one segment. Got to the preschool, refused to get out of the car.
Yeah.
I remember this whole day clearly.
And you think you might have been 3?
No, I was 3. We lived in Newburgh, New York.
See, because I was trying to think about Ellie and what she is really going to remember, because she just turned 4, and I know that I was 3 when we moved to Georgia, but I don't remember anything about before we moved to Georgia.
Yeah.
So I was trying to think, like, how – I was asking my mom, because my parents are here, and I was asking her, like, well, how old were we when I – how old was this? Because when am I going
to
start
–
when does Ellie remember what's going on?
It's dynamic events, and usually that would be being yelled at and things like that. Like in my early, I remember being in trouble a few times. I wasn't in trouble all the time, so those things stood out obviously because my parents would be yelling at me or something like that. Also, big events like where everybody in the family went to the carnival or something like things like that stand out.
Earliest memories for me. Not always negative, but like one, my dad got in a car accident. I remember he came home with like a bandage around his head, and I must have been 2 and a half at that point. But that stuck with me. He also had these model trains that I enjoyed, and I was around the same age. But then the rest of it's like being stung by a bee, choking on gum, burning hand on stove.
Right. Yeah, it's
falling
like,
in the cesspit. That was one of my favorite.
You fell
worst
what's a cesspit?
What's a cesspit?
Oh, no.
Sewer? Is that another word for a sewer?
So it was like, so we're growing up on a farm, right? And the house that we lived in when I was a kid was at the end of the farm drive.
Uh-oh.
And so
that was the end of the
out
line.
In the country, one of the ways that was all the cess was cleaned out was my dad and the other workers would get the tank and suck the cesspool, the sewage out.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being there with this aluminum milk
aluminium.
Can. Aluminium milk can, thinking, "Oh, Dad, I'll get the last bit out."
Oh.
Boosh! In the completely covered in it.
Oh!
So my dad plucked me out straight into the bathtub.
And did the old timers have a laugh at that one?
I think
bet.
So. Yeah.
Well, you know what would happen these days? Before he plucked you out to the bathtub, he would taking pictures, posted it on Instagram,
video. How do you feel, little Nick?
That's the thing. Yeah. That's the thing. This kid. How old is this kid again?
10.
The twerker. He's now in an age where everything is reality television.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is just part.
Including his life.
Yeah, it's just that way. That's the way life is.
Look, if there was video of me when I was 15, I'd be embarrassed. Let alone 10.
I think that the time to judge officially will come when and if he decides that this is not the way that he wants to be, and if the mother continues to push that on him, or like if he starts to feel that this is the way everyone expects me to be, and I don't want to be this way, and I can't change because it will disappoint
everyone.
Well, that's
the hard part. You won't know how long that's going on.
Right.
Because he may have a change. It happened to me politically in my late 20s. Mm-hmm. I knew that I was becoming conservative long before I started telling people that, because everyone I knew was a leftist.
But in this kid's situation, fame is fleeting, right? Well, if he decides not to be part of this lifestyle, he'll just go away and lead a normal life.
Well, I guess.
But if the mother is too involved.
Yeah, hanging on to it.
I guess what I'm saying is those videos are going to be around every job he goes to. Yeah. Every time he does something.
Switch so quick, you know what I mean? Like,
then no one will care.
No one may not care, but what will happen is an office worker will. Believe me, there are plenty of people who in the 1970s needed a little money and, you know, posed for some porn pics, right? But what did they think? They thought, well, you know, so it comes out. It's not even like Hustler or something.
It's some
off-brand, whatever. It comes out. Some people see it. Within a couple of years, nobody knows.
Gallery.
Yeah, and somewhere. Yeah, gallery. So somewhere along the line, they were skating along just fine into the 1990s. They're school teachers now. They're politicians. And then, boom, the World Wide Web.
Yep.
Uh-oh. Now every magazine that's ever been made is uploaded. And now does everybody see the gallery spread from 1975? No. But you know who will find out eventually? The people you work with.
Yeah.
And it just gets around. And once somebody knows about this, now, I don't know, when he's 30, he may be the world's greatest drag queen.
But not even that. I mean, even if I feel like at least his upbringing will prepare him to not be embarrassed if he does change his mind. Like if he's working in an office 20 years from now and someone finds it, he's not going to be like,
I used to be the amazing.
I know. Wasn't that great? I was a crazy kid.
But also 20 years from now, the world is going to be a very, very different place.
That's true. Yeah. I think it's too much importance on it. Who cares? We can disagree with maybe the motives behind what he's doing, especially from the mother's point of view.
Yes.
And maybe the pitfalls that might occur in the future if he does decide that he doesn't want to be like this anymore and he feels an obligation.
You know,
I feel
like this a lot. Remember the pansexual that was on the cover of National Geographic a few months back?
That was trans.
Was it trans?
Mm-hmm. Get it right.
Pansexual was last week.
Pansexual is the Star Wars movie coming out.
Yeah, Lando.
So I felt the same way. I read that story about in National Geographic. First of all, I was like, why is this being covered in National Geographic? Again, if we don't get the millennials, we're done as a magazine. I get that. But while in that story, you know, there was a mother and really pushing it. And boy, this was a 9-year-old kid on the cover of National Geographic. Worldwide magazine, which at least 18 people still subscribe to.
You know, I can say this mother and son, there's probably a lot of love there. It's a form of abuse, but it's not real abuse. There's a lot of kids in parts of this world in the world who don't have cameras on, who don't have parents who pay attention.
Sure.
And that's way worse than this, in my opinion.
Your parents don't pay attention if they don't put cameras on.
Well, not like that. I don't mean it like that. You know what I'm saying?
Who want to be like this and it's fine. And
not
it's
even
not
that. Yeah, exactly.
A big deal. It's something different, but it's not.
What I find interesting from the left is they don't want to normalize a duly elected president, but they do want to normalize this at the age of 10. I find that to be quite interesting. The things that you want to normalize and the things that you don't want to normalize.
When you were talking earlier about the cottage industry of like being politically correct.
Being politically incorrect, actually, like the Jordan Petersons who...
Oh, I mean the other way.
Yeah.
You know, because
an industry. The industry is being outraged about things.
Right, but I guess I mean sort of the business aspect of political correctness, the way that the Starbucks are closing down.
Oh, no.
Right, to teach racial...
Because people don't know. People don't know how to not be racist unless they're taught.
Right. And so they're going to close down all these Starbucks to give this class or whatever. But I was thinking, who's giving the class?
Oh, yeah.
How do you find these people? And how are they? How are they verified by anything?
It doesn't matter. It's just the perception of it. Like, that thing that happened in the Starbucks,
they should just say that's awful and this is unacceptable. But that's not enough. So it's like, no, it's got to be. We're putting on a show now. Here it is. Here's the class.
Because the future is millennials and Starbucks needs
their. There are 22,000 Starbucks in the country. 2 weeks ago, a guy wrote Beaner on a cup and gave it to a Mexican guy in California. Okay, there's 22,999 stores where that didn't happen.
And that's the way that I look at these stories. I look at these stories like, what? One? It was like when that dog got killed on that one flight.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there's like a billion flights a day. There's not a billion, but you know what I mean.
A bunch of dogs who travel
thousands
safely.
With dogs. And yeah. and national news is that a dog died. A dog died while flying.
You know,
that's national. It's not national news. In reality, it's not national news. It's something that happened in America. It's not that big of a deal. News is the thousands of dogs that got to their destination.
Oldham asked a question about who does the classes at Starbucks. I guarantee somebody came up with a company as that happened and thought to ourselves, we can make a gazillion dollars here by doing a half-hour class with these employees.
Who's checking to make sure that
they're not anyone.
Any
they
sort
made,
of accreditation
they,
or anything.
You they don't need it. They made it up on I'm the expert in this. I'll tell you how to do it.
And they do the accreditation. It's a game that goes on. Society says you have to act this way. There's a lot of legal ramifications if you don't. If you have a big company,
are you clapping on
such
right
as
now?
The one I'm clapping on, such as the one that I work in right now, they decide CYA, cover your ass.
They're exorcists.
Eric's going to be put through. Whatever this thing was, non-harassment, whatever
training thing,
sexual harassment, other harassment. We don't really know Eric. We're in Dayton, Ohio, whatever. But if Eric does anything that gets us in trouble, we will be able to CYA and say we put Eric through the course, so you can't blame us.
Yep.
And because that is needed, then an industry, a cottage industry, does sprout up. Tim and I took our course together at the same time. There was a guy from Ohio that we don't know. I know nothing about the guy's background. I'll tell you what I don't know. I don't know if in his 40-some-odd years he ever told an off-color joke. Boy, I'll bet somewhere along the line he did. But I'm supposed to believe that this is a guy who would never do such a thing. How do I know he didn't pinch a girl when he was drunk when he was 22? But by the time he's teaching the course, I mean, it's when you're going through these courses, you realize this is just the people above me covering their behinds in case I do something. Because the way that I look at it is I've been in the workforce since I was 12 years old. Not one. I'm 54 in a couple of weeks. Not one person has accused me of harassment. So in reality, y'all be able to go, that guy gets it. He's been in the workforce.
Yeah.
He's been in the workforce.
He's got a good track. He's got a good track record.
40 years he's been in the workforce. Nobody's complained about him.
One.
Yeah.
Well, one, you're going to be 54 in 5 days.
Yes.
So not a couple weeks.
I don't know. A month or so.
You keep pushing it off. Two, this is capitalism, Eric. There, people are making an industry. This is something you need. You didn't know you needed it. Wow. So it's only going to get worse as people have to create situations where they can then sell their product. I don't know why Starbucks just saying that was awful, that cannot happen, we apologize, isn't enough. Why is that not enough? Because I would believe them if they said that.
I still think that that's a little bit over the top. Maybe it was awful. I'm a white guy, and I've been told the very same thing in many different places, and I've had to leave because buy something. I mean, you buy. People know this for the longest time. You find the cheapest item, usually gum, and you buy it so that you can use the restroom or wait for friends.
There's a lot of stuff we maybe don't know that happened here, but the arrest seems to be going a little too far. The cops show up, and you know if they resist and don't listen, sure. But it's kind of open. You know, you can go to the Starbucks. I know they made it official policy now, but it's always this understood thing with the Starbucks.
It's going
to
ruin.
No, in New York, it's the only place you can go find a bathroom if you don't have to buy anything.
Do you think for a moment? It's not just the bathroom. They said customers are even whether they pay or not, so you can hang out. You don't think in certain areas you're going to have to deal with like the homeless guy who's hanging out?
Yeah, the one across from the Vortex on Peachtree Street already had homeless people camping
out. So can you go to McDonald's, go through the drive-thru, then go to Starbucks to sit down and eat McDonald's? Do you have better Wi-Fi than McDonald's? Sorry.
You should try it. You got to go?
Yeah, I got to go. I will see you tomorrow. You know what? There is a health code thing where you can't bring outside food into a food establishment because if you get sick and that food establishment gets taken to task, it's not their fault because you're eating food from outside.
If you throw a fit about it, they'll give it.
Yeah.
I got to go. I'll see you tomorrow.
Bye, Nick.
You go do your thing. in reality, I think that actually, if you notice in that story, Greg, the cops were never the focus. Once the call was made, the cops did – it really didn't turn into that sort of thing. And right. I noticed a few weeks ago the two dudes settled with the city of Philadelphia for $1 plus some programs – you know,
yeah.
I had a bad time at Starbucks, so I can use other taxpayer money to do whatever. But I don't think it's over there. I think what that says is those guys were smart enough to know that city of Philadelphia ain't where the money was going to come from.
Right.
I won't believe into their in their true hearts until a year goes by and we don't hear about a couple $1 million settlement from Starbucks. Why go after the city of Philadelphia when you can't prove the cops did anything wrong and you've already got Starbucks apologizing before the story even – the apology reached
before
the story.
Well, I hope that doesn't happen. I hope because that would undermine everything. If there is a social issue they want to hit upon here, they don't need to be making money off of it. It's like, hey, look, this kind of stuff happens, and right. you know they've used it so far to get some money for the programs. If you leave it at that, it gives it some credibility.
But
if
it's
you
still,
go try to get a bunch of money.
It still doesn't make any sense from the point of view to me that if this was so wrong, how come I've been forced to do it at least 4 or 5 times in my life, and I'm white. Why wasn't it wrong when I tried to hang out someplace and not pay for anything?
Well, the whole racial thing is, I mean, of course, racism still exists. No one, I think, is arguing that when they argue against this story being a racial issue.
It's not.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it doesn't have to be that that the guys were black.
Well, it's like the whole thing where
every news article also mentions everyone's race.
Unless, you know when your race is not mentioned, if there's a news article or not? Cops killed a white guy last night. Cops kill white guys all the time. And it's never news. And there's just some idea that, well, cops let white people fight back. No, they don't. Cops shows
Try
up.
Try it, white people.
Cops shows up. Cops in charge. That's how you live. You may not like it while it's going on, but you'll have the rest of your life to think back on it. Anyway.
And the cop might be wrong.
The cop may be wrong,
but
we have
courts.
Yeah, but
that's what court's
for. That's right.
You don't adjudicate the case in your neighbor's front yard. You do it in court.
How dare you talk to me?
All right, Gregory, it was good to hear from you. I'm glad you survived Austin, Texas, or the suburbs.
I would join tomorrow, but I know you've got someone else on, so maybe Wednesday.
Well, okay.
You got Tad tomorrow.
That's right.
Chad's coming on.
Tad,
I can't believe I'm being forced out of an episode once a week.
I was trying to help you. All right, Autumn. Goodbye. The rest of you, get off my lawn.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.